Well, 2 weekends ago, we celebrated Easter Sunday. And on Easter Sunday, we acknowledged the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And because he died on the cross of Calvary, if you've trusted Jesus as Saviour, you are forgiven. Because he rose from the grave on the third day, if you've trusted Jesus as Saviour, you have resurrection hope. And not just hope, but you have resurrection assurity that Jesus is going to raise us from the dead if we've trusted him. Well, in Luke chapter 24, we find 2 followers of Jesus walking away from Jerusalem on that resurrection Sunday. And they're walking to a place called Emmaus. Now, Emmaus was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as these disciples of Jesus are walking along that road, they're rather despondent. And a stranger comes beside them who is the most important person in the world, the Lord Jesus, and yet they did not recognize him. You know, sometimes people do not recognize things or people of enormous value. Sometimes we can be short-sighted. Sometimes we can have a person of greatness in our midst and we may not know who they are. It's easy to be short-sighted. Short-sighted over things, short-sighted over events, even short-sighted over people. There was said of an invention in the 1920s, this is what they said about it: the wireless music box has no imaginable commercial value. Who would pay for a message sent to nobody in particular? What was that invention? It was the invention of the radio. Ken Olson, the president, chairman and founder of Digital Equipment Corporation, 1977, said this: there is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. Now, most of us have got a computer in our pocket today, if you've got a mobile phone, let alone in your home. The Decca Recording Company rejected a singing group in 1962, saying, "We don't like their sound and guitar music is on the way out." The group that was rejected was called the Beatles, that's right. And one of those rejected members, Paul McCartney, is estimated to be worth $1.2 billion today. Thomas Watson, the chairman of IBM, 1943, is reported to have said, "I think there is a world market for maybe 5 computers." It is easy to be short-sighted. It is easy not to recognise an idea or even a person that might change the world. These sad verses are written about the Lord Jesus in John chapter 1. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." The Messiah was in the midst of the people of Israel, and yet they did not recognize him. Now in Luke chapter 23, verse 13, we find 2 followers of Jesus walking away from Jerusalem, as I mentioned, on that first resurrection Sunday, and they're journeying to a place called Emmaus. And this stranger comes beside them, who they do not recognize. And it's Jesus, the risen Lord, and he's appearing to 2 of his subjects walking on that dusty road, and his appearance was totally unexpected by them. As they're walking on this road, they had hearts that were burdened. Jesus, the one that they had followed, had been condemned to death and crucified. His body had been placed in a tomb. And their hopes had been dashed because they were hoping that Jesus would redeem Israel, but now he was gone. They were discouraged and they were despondent after the events of the crucifixion and the burial of Jesus. Look at verse 13 of Luke chapter 24. "Now, behold, 2 of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. So the two disciples of Jesus are walking along this road, and it's a road of discouragement. And I want to ask you today, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, what road are you on today? I wonder, it might be a road of discouragement. It might be a road of despondency. It might be a road where your hopes have actually been dashed. There's plenty of Christians that experience roads of discouragement. There's plenty of Christians that experience times in their life where their hopes have not been met. And they were hoping that Jesus would meet a particular need, and Jesus hasn't met that need. What road are you walking on this morning? To them, Jesus was missing, and their joy was missing, and they were sad and burdened by the death of Jesus. But what's interesting is that Jesus was at the centre of their conversation. Even while they were talking about him in sorrow and unbelief, Jesus was the centre. Verse 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. They were things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What's interesting is that Jesus, who is God, took the trouble to note where these disciples were. He knew, because he was God, he knew what they were facing. He knew they were discouraged. He knew that they were even in unbelief. And yet the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, went out to that road to meet them in their discouragements. We can join them or think about what happened then. And as we think about that, we realise that God is interested in his people no matter what road they are on. The Bible says that Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's a wonderful promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to note that Jesus drew near to that place of sorrow. And it was Jesus himself, the Bible says, that drew near. Verse 15, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus didn't send an angel. Jesus took the time himself, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. As I mentioned, Jesus took notice of these disciples. He took notice of their state, and yet he takes the time himself to draw near. Jesus comes in person to them, and he asks them a question. Verse 17, what kind of conversation is that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? He noticed that they were sad. And as I mentioned, these disciples, their dreams had been dashed. The one that had done the miracles around the nation of Israel, the one that had healed the blind, who'd raised the lame, the one that had done these mighty miracles, raising the dead, he'd been crucified. Luke verse 24, verse 18, then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? And he said to them, what things? So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman just as the women had said, but him they did not see. I want you to notice there verse 19. In verse 19, they note the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God. I wonder if they just thought that Jesus was just a prophet and not God. These men were in unbelief, verse 21. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Many of the Jews had hoped that the Messiah would defeat the Romans. Many of the Jews wanted a material Messiah. They wanted a Messiah that would bring in prosperity to the nation. Many of the Jews were sick of the yoke of Rome and wanted Rome out of the place, and they wanted their country back. And they were hoping that the Lord Jesus would do what they wanted. But we were hoping that it was he who is going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. What incredible witnesses these men had had. They'd heard the report of the risen Lord Jesus. They'd heard the report of Jesus himself saying that he was going to rise on the third day. They'd heard the report of the angels, and yet they were in unbelief. You know, there are many people today, like these disciples, that might be disappointed in the Lord Jesus, even believers. There are some believers that have a sickness, and they were hoping that the Lord Jesus would take the pain away. There are some believers that have broken families and wayward children, and they were hoping that the Lord Jesus would restore their families. There are some believers that have been in business and their businesses have failed, and they've been serving the Lord Jesus and they were hoping that Jesus would restore their business. There are other Christians that were hoping that Jesus would restore their marriage. There are other Christians that were hoping that their relative would not die, that Jesus would have healed their relative, but their relative or spouse has passed away. There are people that can examine their lives and the hopes and the dreams that they had that Jesus would bring haven't turned out. Their hopes have been shattered. And like these disciples, they walk away from that important city where the Lord Jesus had been crucified and where he had rose from the grave. And they walk away from Jerusalem. They walk away from the church. They walk away from the Bible study that they've been in. They walk away from other Christians. People today that have not had their hopes met by the Lord Jesus, even believers, walk away. How sad that is. Well, even though they're in unbelief, the Lord Jesus comes to them. Jesus comes because Jesus cares for them. Jesus came not to just bless Israel materially. Jesus came to be Israel's Messiah. And Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary and be buried in the tomb and rise again the third day to have victory over the grave. And the greatest thing that these disciples could be given is not a material Messiah, but a Messiah that frees them from the grave and frees them from the fear of death and gives them the hope of heaven when they die. That's the hope that we have. And that's the hope that we've got to cling to. And if Jesus has been a disappointment to you in your life because he hasn't preserved your business, or he hasn't preserved your health, or he hasn't preserved your family, you have more than enough that Jesus has given you, because Jesus, as a Lamb of God, went to that cross and shed his blood. He loves you so much that he was willing to die on the cross of Calvary. You know, when we examine our own lives, if Jesus never answered one prayer, he has done more than enough for each of us who have trusted him. because he's given us salvation. He's given us a home in heaven. He's forgiven our sins. He's made the provision where we can be accepted by his Father in heaven into that beautiful home of heaven when we pass away. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. They were hoping for a revolution, but instead they got a redeemer, which was far better. And humanity's greatest need is redemption today. That's the need of people. And we've got to tell people their need of redemption. We've got to tell them that they've been purchased from the slavery of sin. We've got to tell them that they've been purchased not with corruptible things, but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. When Peter wrote to the early church, he said, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Robert Lowry wrote the hymn and he said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nought of God that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Perhaps they had hopes of happiness in a material Messiah, but Jesus came as a redeemer for all humanity. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. And they go on and they say in verse 23, "When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?'" That's what he said to the disciples on that road. You know, Jesus took them, these men that had burdened hearts, and to heal them and to give them hope, he took them to the scriptures. The followers of Jesus here had a 7-mile Bible study. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have a 7-mile Bible study with the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's what they got. Wonderful Bible study. And beginning, verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." He must have given these disciples on the road to Emmaus the greatest Old Testament sermon in history. The Lord Jesus began with Moses and then he went to the prophets to share with them of himself. What passages would he have taken them to? Well, perhaps he took them to what Moses wrote in the book of Genesis. Perhaps he showed them the story of Abraham and Isaac. Perhaps he quoted them from Genesis chapter 22, though they didn't have Bible verses back then, but Jesus could have taken them back to the exact place where we see in Genesis chapter 22 where Abraham was climbing that mountain with his son Isaac, and Isaac has the timber on his back, and Abraham knows that God has told him to sacrifice his son, and Abraham gets to that mountain and he raises the dagger and the angel stops him, and you see a lamb caught in the thicket. Maybe Jesus explained that the lamb that was caught in the thicket is a picture of me. That lamb died in the place of Isaac, and he might have said to them that I died in the place of all humanity. Perhaps he took them to Genesis 37, and maybe he showed them the story of Joseph, betrayed by his own family. He was preserved to become the provider for his brothers who had tried to destroy him. Nothing is impossible for our Lord. Maybe the Lord took those disciples there to Genesis 37 and explain that Joseph was a picture of him, rejected by his brothers, raised up. Maybe he said that. Maybe he shared from the prophets. He might have taken them to Isaiah, where Isaiah wrote, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Maybe he took them to Isaiah and said, "I am the suffering servant." Maybe he took them to Job, where Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." I'm not sure what passages Jesus would have shared, but he had 7 miles to do it, and he conducted a 7-mile Bible study in the Old Testament with these disciples. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Do you want people to see Jesus? Do you want people to be saved? I really believe, and it's impressed on my heart, that we actually need to be going out into the highways and byways and compelling them to come in. We need to do what Jesus did. Jesus would travel on the roads and he would meet people where they were at. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, "Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." Jesus went to a place of work, and it's possible that if you're in a place of work, that you can be a testimony for the Lord Jesus. And some of those places of work are dark places, but you can shine as salt and light. We are living in depressing and despondent days, and Jesus wants people in the workplace to shine as salt and light, because they might be on very dark roads in your workplace and you can make a difference. Jesus went to the workplace. There was a woman at the well getting necessities, John chapter 4. She wasn't buying anything. She was there to get the necessity of water. And what does Jesus do? He goes out of his way and he goes and he meets that woman at the well and he testifies before her that he indeed is the Messiah. In Luke chapter 5, there's a tax collector, a lost man, Matthew. And Matthew needs to meet Jesus, so Jesus deliberately goes out and meets him. Luke 5:27. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. I want you to know in verse 27 that says he went out. He deliberately looked for Matthew and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he left all, rose up, that's Matthew, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there were a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him, and their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus witnessed to people at their places of work. He travelled along the roads. He went to the places where people would gather for necessities, like the well where the woman was. Jesus witnessed at the places of worship. He witnessed at the temple. He witnessed in the synagogues. He witnessed at the places of sickness. The Bible says in John chapter 5, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now you read that story, and Jesus goes to a place of sickness, and he brings healing in that place. So Jesus made sure that he went to all sorts of different places to call people unto himself. You know, Jesus even witnessed in the cemetery. Did you know that? Cemeteries can be a place of witness. Let me give you the passage. The passage is in John chapter 11, and people witness Jesus praying. He prays out aloud deliberately for the people that were by the tomb of Lazarus. And then he says, "Lazarus, come forth," in the synagogues, in the cemeteries, in the temple, in the places of work, in the places of sickness, on the roads. The Lord Jesus went about witnessing to others. Here we see him in this passage that we've read this morning, that he goes out on a road and he witnesses to those despondent disciples. If Jesus went out onto the dusty roads and he went to the places of sickness and he even went to the cemetery and the synagogue and the temple to be a witness, so must we as the people of God. I was out here earlier on and there was a lady had a bicycle, and she pulled up her bicycle near the tabernacle out the front there, and I went and she got out a phone, and I figured she must have been a tourist, and I said to her, "Are you lost?" And she said, "No, but I'm just trying to work out this." And so I went over to her, and she had a mobile phone, and she showed me a picture that she'd taken on the other side of the road of a stone. It was like a stone fountain or something. I think it was in the garden near the university. And she said, "I'm trying to work out what the symbols are on this column." And I looked at those symbols and I said to her, "I think they're Masonic symbols on that stone. I think that's what they are." And then I talked to her a little bit about masonry. And then I said to her, "Would you like to come in and have a look at the church?" I said, "I've got some information on the church." I gave her a tract, welcomed her in, actually gave her three different tracts, and invited her to come to church. There are people all out there that if we would just actually go and speak to them, meet them in their needs, that actually you might have a chance to witness to them for the gospel. A couple of us went out last night on the street in Hamilton with the aim of talking to people about the Lord Jesus and handing out tracts. I've shown you this tract before. It's on the Titanic. It's a marvellous time to hand out Titanic tracts because it's the 110th anniversary this year of the sinking of the Titanic. And we engaged with around about 100 people. And what I mean by that is 100 people took tracts out of our hands. And out of those 100 people, there were 5 people that we had good conversations with. One man was a Muslim. There were 2 girls that were cousins. And there was another guy, a young guy. And when I started to talk to him about it, I mentioned that Jesus was a carpenter. And this young man said, "I'm a carpenter." And then I explained to him that there is one carpenter in history that has split time, and it's the carpenter of Nazareth, the Lord Jesus. AD and BC centres around the Lord Jesus Christ. 100 people took tracts from us, and 5 people were willing to engage with us. There was this girl on stilts, and she was way up there. She had these, and I thought, how am I going to get a tract up to her? And she walked my way, and I asked her, I said, "Do you mind if I get a photograph with you?" And she said, "Sure." So she stood up way up there, and I'm down here, got a photograph, and I was able to pass a tract way up to her, up there in the heavens. Wonderful opportunities. We've got to, in this age that we live in, be willing to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus. Jesus went on the dusty roads. Jesus went to the places of necessity. Jesus went to the places of suffering, that pool where people would come for healing. Jesus went to the cemetery and witnessed. Jesus went to the synagogue and witnessed. Jesus would go to the temple and witness. Where Jesus would go to the workplace and witness. He'd walk by the Sea of Galilee deliberately so he could engage people. And I really believe that more than ever, people are willing to be engaged with the gospel. There is a spiritual yearning in many people. and they're realizing that their material world is corroding. They no longer have job security. They no longer have the home as a security, because people are losing their homes in the day and age that we live in. Young people, it's just a far-off dream to be able to buy a house for many young people today. And yet there's a security that we can offer, a security of Jesus, a security of a person that will never leave them nor forsake them, a security of a person that will give them eternal life, and he guarantees it, that we can have a home in heaven if we've trusted him. Jesus went to the road of difficulties. He went to the road of disappointment, and he simply engaged people in conversations. And this was what they summed it up at the end, the disciples. Verse 32, and they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? The disciples went from having burdened hearts to burning hearts when Jesus opened the word and when Jesus opened their eyes to the reality of his presence with them. Jesus said of us, ye are the salt of the earth. Jesus said of us, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. From burdened hearts to burning hearts. And may God use us to go on the dusty, despondent and disappointing roads that people are journeying on. And may God use us to bring the presence of Jesus into their midst. We have God living within us by the power of the Holy Spirit. May God use us to be salt and light as people travel on the dusty roads of this life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that these disciples, as we see them walking away in unbelief, that the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, still went after them. Still went after them to give them hope, to give them a Bible study, and to reveal to them face to face that he was a living, loving Messiah. Lord, people are in the same situation today, on roads of disappointment. Use us as salt and light to reach them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.